So page 1109, Acts 14, and we're going to start just at the end of verse 20, which is just above where it says the return to Antioch in Syria. The next day, Paul and Barnabas left for Derbe. They preached the good news in that city and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God," they said. Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. After going through Pisidia, they came into Pamphylia, and when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. From Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they'd been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples.
Thank you very much, Margaret, for reading that to us. I'd like us to sing another song now. I won't give you the number because you haven't got the book, have you? It's Here I Am. Let me listen. Well, I was told to tell you what to do, so hopefully you will. I hope you don't hear me, but you hear God. And that puts a tremendous sense of responsibility on me. Let's pray that God will speak, not only to you, but to me also. Almighty God, we're conscious that we have your word in our hands. Lord, it's a word that can cut to the very heart of our lives, not to do damage, but to bring us perhaps to think, to make right decisions, to live right lives, to seek to give to you what you want us to give, to serve you in the way you want us to serve. Lord, here we are, wholly available to you. Lord, speak to us this morning. Amen. Not actually going to preach out of the passage that was read to us, but I'll come to the passage in a moment that I'd like to bring to your attention. Moving house, we are told, is one of life's greatest traumas. Probably the reason I haven't done it for nearly 40 years. It'll probably be a care home for me when I move on. But it's a trauma. And I can't understand how some people do it so frequently, you know, that they hardly unpack. Moving. But then there are other moves that we make in life, depending on who we are, that can be equally as stressful in one way or another. Now, in a week or so's time, children will possibly be moving to a new school. A trauma. Very difficult for some youngsters. Young people will probably be going on to colleges and university. Moves that are equally traumatic. But then there are some moves that are planned, but other moves that are not planned. So with employment, we might, for example, apply for a new job and be given that new job, and the move from one location to another location or one work environment to another is of our choice. But equally, sometimes the move is forced in that we're offered the slip of paper that says, I'm redundant. Then there are other moves that perhaps come upon us that are difficult to experience. Illness. Incapacity. I can't do what I used to. Or even bereavement. And persons are often heard saying, aren't they, after a tragedy, whatever it is, or after something which has changed their circumstances, life, of course, must go on. As if we close the book on one chapter and we open it on another. I wish it was quite that easy. But how prepared are we for change or moving on in the church? Now, I'm not thinking about your church buildings. I'm hardly going to mention your church buildings, I promise. I don't know whether you get a lot about church building at the moment, but I'm not going to mention it. But are you as a church prepared to move on in mission? You see, our reading showed Paul moving the church on into mission and growth. They were doing things that they hadn't done before. Only a short time earlier, he had been at a prayer meeting in Antioch, and the Spirit had said, set apart for me, Paul and Barnabas, to go and do this missionary activity. And did you see how Paul and Barnabas moved on from one place after another to another to another, sharing the things they knew about Almighty God? So our subject today is moving on in the church. Moving on in the church. Perhaps asking ourselves why the church exists. What's it for? Where are we going? Have you a role? And if you should doubt it, there are vacancies not only in the youth band, but in one of the children's groups, I believe, and in some decoration, I think, that needs to be attended to. So there's plenty to do. Moving on. You see, Jesus, after his earthly ministry, after his crucifixion, after his resurrection, just prior to his ascension, he gathered the church together, or at least his disciples that were going to become the church, and he said this, and perhaps this is a foundation of who we are and what we're about. I'm reading out of Matthew chapter 28. You could quote most of it to me. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age. Here we've got the birth of the church. So what is the church? A care home? A battle station? Or a bit of both? Well, let's see what these words could mean to us about the church moving on. And I'd like to suggest, first of all, that moving on here means carrying on. Carrying on. Let me read again to you two of those verses. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus is about to return to heaven. He's about to be ascended, and he's asking his disciples to move on. Perhaps to move on from the structures and the disciplines of temple worship that they'd been used to, or even in the synagogue, where they went to find God. But now he's asking them to move on to find God living within them and empowering them through the Holy Spirit to become the living church. The living church. And as the church, Jesus asks them to carry on. To carry on what he has started. So to discover perhaps what the church is all about, we need to say, well, what was Jesus about? What was he doing here on earth that when he went back to the Father, he said, now carry on doing what I was doing? So what was he doing? Well, he told stories, didn't he? Spoke to anyone about his Father in heaven who had listened. He performed miracles. He healed people. He addressed social issues, etc., etc. But why did he do these things? Because the Gospels analyse very much, and each writer of a Gospel had a specific purpose in writing, not to just recount what Jesus did, but why he did it. Why he did it? You see, he told stories. He did healings and miracles because there was a reason for every story. There was a reason in every healing, in every miracle. If you should doubt it, go and read the Gospels for yourself. And it was to reveal his Father in heaven, to the point that on one occasion he actually said to the crowd, he who's seen me has seen God. And the people responded by asking, well, who is this man? Who is he? A prophet? A teacher? A reformer? Or maybe somebody else? But Jesus also had a purpose to his ministry. Yes, a reason for all that he did, but a purpose to it. And it was to do more than is immediately perhaps apparent. It was to share the good news of the gospel, the good news that God is a forgiving God, prepared to bring reconciliation and new life to all who would listen. You see, in the scriptures, we read this. Right at the beginning of his ministry, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce that captives should be released and the blind should see. There was his purpose to his ministry. And when you see what he's saying to his disciples, it's very much the same thing. He says, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything that I've taught you. So Jesus is saying to this group of disciples, carry on. There was a reason to every story. There was a purpose in his ministry. But there was also a focus. And you'll find constantly in scriptures that Jesus had set his face to go to Jerusalem. Because the focus of Jesus' ministry was the cross. Because it was only in the cross that there could be forgiveness and reconciliation. Only in the cross would the world truly experience the love of God. The writers in the New Testament make this so, so clear. I mean, Paul, for example, writing to Timothy, said this. He said, here's something worth listening to, and it deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So the healings, the stories, the miracles were for that purpose. Peter went a little bit further when he wrote. He said, Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you and me and those who were healed and those who listened to the stories, to God. To God. And I suppose it leads us to ask, if we're to carry on that ministry, what are we about here? Or what is Upton on Severn about, where I'm involved? Or St. Peter's also, where I'm in membership? Do we know why we do what we do? Is it carrying on Jesus' ministry, or do we need to take stock and think? Interestingly, since preparing this, I read a quote out of the Baptist Times. It's a week or so old because it refers to the Keswick Convention. But a Baptist minister said this at one of the meetings. It was Derek Tidball, who some of you may know. He said, "Judging by the way the church in England behaves, we don't have confidence in the gospel." He went on to say, he said, "We very often want to keep the gospel back and to hook people by other messages first. But the plain, simple, steady teaching and exposition of the gospel, the unpacking of the unsearchable riches of Christ, is surely still the most persuasive way of bringing people genuinely to a point of conversion and discipleship." And that's what Jesus carried on doing and asked the church to carry on doing it. But moving on not only means carrying on, I'd like to suggest out of these verses, it means getting on. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." Moving on means getting on. It means teamwork. And do you notice that already we've got a question mark between certain aspects of the discipleship? You see, some came and listened to Jesus happily, but others were doubting. So there was already a little bit of conflict or a little bit of disagreement, just as we have in churches wherever we are. But getting on is all about teamwork. How do you get on with each other in the church? I do know still churches where, you know, some people will sit on that side and others will sit on that side. They haven't got a problem, but they have. But Jesus said moving on means getting on. Let me see those two verses that I read. Would you please note that, first of all, they were called by Jesus. He invited the disciples to go from Galilee to the mountain where he had told them to go. You see, getting on, I believe, means reminding ourselves who the boss is. Who the boss is. And it's, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who said, "I will build my church." Which is why we've asked God to speak to us this morning rather than the blueprint that I might be giving you that you may be led to question. So remember the boss in teamwork. Equally, it tells us they were all there. There's very few times following the death of Judas that we refer to the disciples by a number. But it's mostly in this situation and just prior to Jesus' ascension. "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee." The agenda that Jesus had given them for this meeting didn't have an entry that said apologies for absence. There weren't any. All 11 were there because they were all important. They were all valuable. They were all gifted. They were there together as a team. How important do you think you are to this church? Or do you think you're probably a bit old for doing anything. Or equally, the other end of the spectrum, too young. Or would you love to do something, but find that you can't even get in? Because these are situations that arise in churches. But then notice something else about this getting on. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. They worshipped him. There wasn't an activity about what they were or they weren't going to do or how they were going to go to do it or go about doing it. But they worshipped him. And maybe about getting on, this is the starting point. What priority do we put on worship? What does worship mean to me? Do I reserve worship for Sundays only? Who do I worship? You see, the secret to getting on is to worship Jesus, the only perfect church member in Evesham. So how are you getting on? Do you wonder, like I have to admit sometimes, why it is God sends certain persons to our churches? We could get so much more done if only she or he didn't become part of our church. But God sends oddballs sometimes for his own wisdom, for his own purposes. And they're part of the team. Don't worry about them, but rather ask ourselves, am I a team player? Does the church have a use for me? So moving on is carrying on. Carrying on the ministry of Jesus. And that needs to be thought through very carefully. Moving on means getting on. Perhaps getting up after this particular service and putting matters straight with somebody else. Saying, I couldn't work with you, but I'm jolly well going to make an effort to work with you. And we'll try and do it together. But then lastly, I'd like to suggest that moving on means going on. Because Jesus gave those words that are so familiar to us. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always. So where do you go from here? Where do you go from here? How do you evaluate what you're doing as a church? And exactly what is your role? Should you wait for a new building and then decide what to do? Or should the thinking be put down, and I'm sure it has, in order that you put up a building that enables you to carry on the ministry and work of Jesus as he reveals to you? Moving on means going on. Well, of course, it's the minister's job, really. And if not the minister's job, the deacon's job. But no, it's God, I believe, saying to all of us, am I prepared to move on? Am I prepared to make that extra step to serve Almighty God? In another book that I've read recently called, or at least part of it, Understanding the Church, the writer says this. And I found these words very challenging to me personally. Why does the church exist? He writes. What is God's purpose in leaving his people here in this world? Immediately became a Christian, God could have translated you into his presence, taken you into his glory. But he didn't. He didn't. You would be with Christ, which Paul says is better. But he didn't do that. He leaves his church in the world, a decision that affects us all in our personal lives, as families, and as communities. For that key decision by God is going to dictate the major way in which we spend our lives. And then he gets even more personal. He said, it determines what I do with my resources, my time, my talents, my money, and much else besides. It decides our priorities and makes us ask ourselves what we're really living for, why we are here as God's church. Paul was able to say that for him, for me, he said, is to live. To live is Christ. And he continued on to his second missionary journey and his third missionary journey, if we read through the Acts. He was planning to go to Spain. It's all documented. To my knowledge, he never got there. But the church has a responsibility to go even where Paul stopped moving on. So where do we go in the future? Are you going to go on with the Lord in serving the church? You know, this month, the film Toy Story 3 was released. You're looking quite blank. Nobody's seen Toy Story 2 or 1. Anybody not seen any of them? I might as well forget it, might I, really? Toy Story is a lovely story because it's sort of one of these stories. It's all cartoons and starts once upon a time and ends happily ever after. And all films have to do that. There's enough tragedy in the world. I don't want it on my television screen. So we've got a box of DVDs, only a very small box. We repeat them constantly because we know how they start and we know they're going to finish okay and I can go to bed and sleep at peace. Toy Story 3 has just come out. Believe me, I haven't seen it, but if it's as good as the last two, and I understand it's better. But one of the principal characters in Toy Story is a guy called Buzz Lightyear, a sort of foreign alien from Mars or something or other, or a spaceman. I'm not quite sure what he is, but his name is Buzz Lightyear. And Buzz Lightyear isn't fazed by anything, at least not in the first and the second film, and I'm sure he won't have changed in the third. But whatever the problem, he's up for it. And he always used to say whatever was in front of him, to infinity and beyond. You see, some of you know. Jesus put it slightly differently. He said, move on. Move on, not doing what you want, but what I've started. Move on by getting on. That's not to imply that you don't get on, but getting on with even those that you don't get on with. Move on means going on. Not what it says to him or to her, but what it says to me. And Jesus said, not to infinity and beyond, but he said, I'm with you. Because I'm doing the building. I'm with you to the very end of the age.